just so, so good. And the fact that he comes and before Jesus died on the cross, God's presence was only felt in the temple. And the moment Jesus said, "It is finished," this huge, huge, monstrous blanket that kept God's presence back from the people was torn in half. I can't even play guitar because it was torn in half and God's presence came out. And so now here in our churches, in our homes, walking down the street, in the park, we can feel the presence of God with us. We don't have to go to a priest and have them go have a sacrifice on our behalf because Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And he said, "I love them so much that I'm not going to withhold myself into a temple anymore, but my presence is going to be available to each and every person who calls upon the name of the Lord." And he ripped that blanket in half so that here in this moment, today, we get to feel the presence of God moving through us, changing us, restoring us, bringing to life things that we thought were long dead. God, we just give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for you alone are worthy. Lord God, we lift up our hands to praise you for what you have done. Lord God, that you stood in our place when we were worthy of death. You stood and you said, "No, you will not be lost forever." And our enemies tried to take that away from day one. He caused us to sin. He tempted us, Lord. And ever since then, he tried to get rid of the chosen one. He tried to attack David because he was like, "This must be the chosen one of God." And he tried to kill Jesus when he was an infant because he wants to destroy us because of his hatred for you. And Lord God, you stood. When we couldn't stand, you stood. And you took the place for us. And you ripped that blanket in half, Lord, so that we can encounter a real and live God every day. Here in this building with multiple believers, alone in our homes, in our cars, Lord. Because you desired a relationship with each and every one of us. Lord, you don't want to be distanced from us, but you want to be up close and personal. You want it to be real, as real to us as a relationship with a husband, with a friend, with a father, Lord. And we thank you and we give you praise because as King of the universe, you didn't have to do that. Because as King and Creator of the world, you didn't have to say, "I want to rescue them." It would have been fully right of you to have let us die because you are good and holy and perfect and we blew it. But God, you said that your love was too great to let us die in our sins. And so from the moment we fell in the garden, you said, "I have a plan. And I'm going to send my son to redeem them and to bring them back to me." And Lord God, we just give you praise and honor and glory because we are undeserving. And we thank you for the good work that you have done, for the good work that you have done from the beginning of time, Lord, for the good work that you have done in each of the lives here this morning. Lord, for the lives you have snatched from the hands of our enemy, Lord. For the lives that are still out there waiting, Lord, waiting for a relationship with you. God, we just ask that you would come, that you would continue to move here this morning, that you would have your way here this morning, Lord. That when we leave this building, Lord, that you will be the fire in our veins, that you will be the passion that ignites us to go forward, that you will be the echo of our days, Father. That when we die and when we leave this earth, they can say, "Oh, they were a mighty warrior for God. Oh, we see what they have done for the kingdom of God." And that when we get to heaven, Lord, that we will be able to throw many crowns down at your feet because there will be people that you used us to bring into heaven, Lord, that you used us to save from going to hell, Lord. God, that we do it all for you because you are the only worthy reason for us to persist and to chase after you. And Lord God, we just give you thanks. And we offer up these lives as humble sacrifices to you to use however it is that you would choose, Lord. We thank you for this day. We just ask that you continue to move here this morning, Lord, that you would have your hand on Pastor Josh as he gives the message. Lord God, that you would be glorified in all of our words, all of our actions, and all of our deeds. That our lives, we would live to bring you glory and honor in everything that we do. In the holy name of Jesus, we ask all of these things. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. God is good. I want to talk about what just happened there. I can guarantee you that Alexa did not plan to say that, that Alexa did not write that down. That is what we call a word. When you are given a word from God, did anything Alexa say, did it contradict anything in the Bible? Everything she said was complete truth. That veil was there. That veil, that's where God stopped. That's the smoke would fill that part of the temple. And the only way you could go in was if you were a priest. In fact, they would tie a rope to the priest because if the priest did something wrong, God would strike him dead. And they couldn't go in to get the priest out, so they would pull him out that way. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did. He ripped that veil right in two. God is good. I want to talk about what just happened there. I can guarantee you that Alexa did not plan to say that, that Alexa did not write that down. That is what we call a word. When you are given a word from God, did anything Alexa say, did it contradict anything in the Bible? Everything she said was complete truth. That veil was there. That veil, that's where God stopped. That's the smoke would fill that part of the temple. And the only way you could go in was if you were a priest. In fact, they would tie a rope to the priest because if the priest did something wrong, God would strike him dead. And they couldn't go in to get the priest out, so they would pull him out that way. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did. He ripped that veil right in two. I just want to explain to you what that was. I felt it coming. I felt a word coming. The Holy Spirit was moving within me too. I thought it was going to be me. And I was very glad it was Alexa. I'm very glad she spoke forth. I would not have been surprised if she would have said that in tongues. And then we would have waited for the interpretation, but it wasn't in tongues. But I want to bless you know that is a word directly from God, and I hope it ministered to you this morning. The Holy Spirit is here, he is alive, and he is moving in this place. And how amazing is that? That exactly what Alexa said, that because of what Christ did, the Holy Spirit is with us every single day, and God is with us every single day. That is amazing. Alexa, thank you so much for stepping forward. We pray for that almost every morning before we worship. We pray for a word from God to fall. We pray for the Holy Spirit to move in this place, because without that, without the Holy Spirit here, this is all vanity. So glory to God. Thank you, God, for that word. But good morning and welcome to River of Hope. Take a few minutes right now. Go find someone you haven't said good morning to. Shake their hand. Tell them good morning and tell them how glad you are that they're here this morning. Well, if you are a first-time guest with us, I just want to say welcome. We are honored that you have chosen to come here to River of Hope this morning. Those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Josh. I'm the senior pastor here. And I just want to say, I'm so glad to see each and every one of you that we pray for you all week long. We pray for you every morning before service starts. And we know that God's going to move here today, and we look forward to it. I just have a couple of quick announcements, and then Hope 101, we are getting all set to go. I hope to get all the material ready here in a little bit, so if you signed up. So we're going to run it both Wednesday evenings and Sunday mornings. So if you miss a Wednesday evening, you can come that Sunday morning and still get the same class. So everybody will be covered. I hope to start like end of July, beginning of August. Man, July is just so jam-packed. There is so much going on in the month of July between camp and Alexa's brother's getting married. So they're going out to Pennsylvania. So they
best
have this
state ever.
Better pretend I didn't hear that. That's like, and so they have decided that for the month of July, since there's everything's going on, that we're gonna cancel youth group for the month of July, and they're gonna kick it off with some epic party in August again. So
I don't remember saying epic party.
Well,
it's something fun. I don't remember.
Epic party. Yeah.
Those were not
all right.
Words I used.
July 29th, immediately after service, we're going to go to the hotel here in town for our baptism. We believe in believer's baptism. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, that you then get baptized full immersion. I have four people right now who I've talked to personally that they are going to be baptized that day. We might also be doing a dedication that day. So for those of you who don't know what that means, we don't believe in baptizing infants or babies because they haven't accepted Christ as their Savior. But we weren't happy to dedicate your child if you would like us to do that. And that is simply that you, along with people you choose, commit to raise them in a godly household to learn about God. And then the members of River of Hope will also help hold you accountable. So if you are interested in having your child dedicated, just let me know. And we'll talk more about that. Today, after the service, we are going to be having a party for my great-nephew. It's his birthday, Jovi. We'll be having a water balloon fight. So your kids are welcome to stay and join us if they would like to do that. Parents, if you want to just leave them here and go do something and come back and grab them later, we're perfectly fine with that. And this, Jovi and Javi are new to the area too, so this is a great way for them to meet new friends today. Men of Hope, Horseshoe Pit, we are going to have them done this week. So the 28th on Saturday, we're going to grill out and have a horseshoe contest. So I expect all the men to come out and join us for that. Also, if anybody lives in town, would like to take over watering in the evening, please let me know. I've been coming in, but it's getting kind of hard to come in to water. I know Chelsea and Kurt took over a couple nights for us. So if you're interested in doing that, let us know. And abiding care. If you guys are good with drywalling and mudding and taping and stuff of that nature, Abiding Care Pregnancy Resource Center, they're moving into their new building, and they need a lot of help. So if you are willing to help, let me know, and I will get your information on to Carrie, and she will let you know when everything is going on. Sandy's pretty plugged in with all that, too, so you can talk to Sandy in the back. But we're going to continue on with our worship. We're going to worship God with our tithes and offerings rolling. Since Travis is out of town, can you help me this morning? If you are not a member or do not call River Hope your home church, do not feel obligated to give. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are here with us, that you did tear that veil in two, and that you have allowed us to enter into your presence, and we know you are here right now. Lord, we pray as we give back to you what is yours, that you will take this and you will bless it and you will multiply it, that you will keep the ministry work of this church going, that we can continue to glorify you and reach the city of Medford. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue on with our series today. We're talking about board games, the games we play. Last week we talked about our foundation. And our foundation is simply this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the grave. Our foundation is built upon him. It's built upon prayer. And now we're going to continue to build up. We're going to tear out the bad building blocks that we're putting in, and we're going to put in the building blocks of Christ. I just want to tell you that I love board games. I'm going to give you a glimpse into our family's life. Every year at Christmas, my mom would buy us a new board game. And every year at Christmas, we'd play that board game, and every year we'd get into a fight. Without fail. One year, my mom bought us this amazing game called Tri-Bond. And it was like, it would give you three things. Like, okay, here's an example. An elephant, a tree, and a car. What do these three things have in common? A trunk. Well, I mentioned I'm very competitive? I really think I get this from my sister. She's also very competitive. So I kept getting beat in Tri-Bond, and it was upsetting me so much that Now, technically, I guess this is cheating. But while they were all gone doing stuff, I took the game down. I read every single answer and then committed them to memory. That's not as easy as it sounds because there's multiple questions per card. But I committed them all to memory. And the next time we played, I trounced my family in Tri-Bond. And then was branded a cheater for the rest of my... To this day, if I win a game, they say, I cheated. I'm like, oh. I have to, like, if we play a new game, I have to make sure it's wrapped when I open it up. So they don't know I didn't look at the cards. But, so today we're going to look at Monopoly. And it's called Greed and Anger, a Deadly 1-2 Punch. I did a little research on Monopoly. How many official and unofficial versions of Monopoly do you think there are? According to Wiki, 1,144 versions, official and unofficial. So that includes like Catopoly, Deeropoly. It goes all the way back to when it first started. It was called the Landlord Game. What do you think I also Googled this. What do you think the best investment in the game of Monopoly is? What is the best property to buy in Monopoly? What? Actually, no. So this is the order it goes. So the most important thing to buy in Monopoly, get all the railroads. The second most important thing is so you're looking at start, that left side of the board, and then down from jail. Those are the most important ones to buy, and make sure you get a Monopoly. Here's another interesting thing. What do you think the least valuable things to buy on there are? The utilities are the worst thing to buy. And the strategy is only buy them if you can get them at a very reduced price. Otherwise, they're just not going to pay off for you. So it also recommends that if you land in jail and your opponents have lots of monopolies up and they have houses and stuff up, just sit in jail for as long as you can. And there is actually professional Monopoly players. I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, no one said, hey, did you know you can play board games for a profession? I was like, yeah, all right, this is what I'm doing. It blows my mind. So obviously, greed comes into Monopoly, because what is the whole purpose of Monopoly? Is to completely crush your opponents and bankrupt them as fast as you possibly can. So obviously you have to be a little bit greedy. But you're like, anger. Where does anger come in when you play Monopoly? That's because most Monopoly games end up looking like that. One year I played Monopoly with my niece and my sister-in-law, and I had to walk away from the game because as we were going along, they kept changing the rules. And then they decided, well, one of them landed on a space with hotels or with houses, and they're like, well, I can't afford to pay that. This is what the other one said. Pay me when you get the money. I'm like, that's not the game! That's not the game! And then they're like, okay, new rule, and this is when I walked away. Whatever space you land on, you have to talk with that accent that you think matches that space. I'm like, I'm done. But greed and anger, they really tend to go hand in hand. People who are really greedy tend to be angry. Because what do they want more than anything else? They want money, and they want to hold on to that money. And when you try to take money away from someone, it's like trying to take, have you ever tried to take dog food away from a dog? Or my dog's favorite thing, I have bulldogs. If you leave any napkin down, that dog will snatch it up and run off with it. And you have to chase him down, hold him down, and pry open his mouth to get it out. The other day, and we really should have named him Hoover. Because if it ends up on the ground, it ends up in his mouth. Last night, I was laying on the couch, and Lacey's like, Gleep has something. And I literally just said, let him choke to death. I'm done. Who knows what he has now? And just one more funny story about greed. This actually fits in really well. So my bulldogs tend to think that they don't get fed enough. And so they're always food hungry. And one thing they really like to eat then is corn. Well, we had a bunch of extra corn, so we took it, we had like cobs, and we took it down and we threw it out into the garden, just see what would come eat it. Came home and all the cobs were gone. I mean, gone. I'm like, oh, something came to eat. This is cool, probably our chickens. We walked inside and we found pieces of corn cob through our house and our white bulldog laying on her side, her belly extended, just going, "Urgh." I'm like, you ate all that corn, didn't you? "Urgh." And They sleep in bed with us. But that was one night I was ready to kick her out because all night long she was farting. It was horrible. But that's what greed will get you. She was greedy. She didn't need that food. So, questions we're going to answer today. What is the danger of building with anger and greed? There's a danger. If you are building up with anger and greed, is all anger wrong and is having wealth wrong? That answer might surprise you. If we remove anger and greed, what do we replace them with? What are the results of my actions? We're always going to ask that question. We're always going to look at what the results are if we do it or if we don't do it. Because if we don't leave changed, this is all vanity. And am I building with anger and greed? And more importantly, will I replace them? So some of our texts there. First is from Ephesians 4, 26. It says 26, 17. It has to be a typo. 26 and 27. That makes more sense. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. James 1, 19 and 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Listen to this part. Because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Your human anger does not produce righteousness. I tell you what, I'm pretty good at that quick to listen, but that slow to speak, I need to work on that part. My mouth gets ahead of my brain a lot. I believe they call that putting your foot in your mouth. Putting your foot in your mouth? Yeah. My brother's like, yeah, you do it all the time. He tells me that all the time. He's like, dude, you're an idiot. But I digress. Colossians tells us, but you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. 1 John says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the Word. Ecclesiastes tells us, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Proverbs says, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money by money little by little makes it grow. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Luke 12:15. So I'm just going to be honest with you. This was the hardest week of my life. I have found something that God has a great sense of humor. I knew I was preaching on anger and this week, and God said, I'm going to throw everything in my life into your life that I can to see how angry you get and see if you're listening to what you're preaching about. So Sunday afternoon, we were heading over to my niece's house. Savannah was her birthday party. And do you guys know those people who rely way too much on technology? Do you ever see the TV where people drive their cars into a lake because the GPS told them to? I would be that person. So my truck is awesome. It has this really cool backup camera. And when you get too close to something, it beeps at you. At least in theory. My eyes were open, trust me. So as I was backing up quite fast, I turned, and the camera said I still had enough room. And the next thing I knew, I slammed really, really hard into Lacey's car. I mean, hard. And after I hit it, the camera then flashed red and beeped. And I got to give my wife credit because I don't think I could handle it as nice as she did. She was very, very polite with me, even though she had the right to be mad at me. So that happened. So then the next morning I had to walk out, and we have ducklings at our house, and now they're all over the yard, but back then they were in a run. And we put down these nice wood chips, but the back half didn't have wood chips, and the ducks turned it into this slimy, I call it moop. Moop is when mud and poop mix together. And so I went out there because I had to fill up their water, and I stepped. I had sandals on, and I stepped, and I slipped. And not thinking, because when you fall, do not do this if you're falling. That's a good way to get hurt. But I did that. I put my hand out to brace myself. I hit a cinder block. I have a nice abrasion on my hand. So there I am laying. I landed on a cinder block too, hurt my backside. There I am laying in this moop. Still have to finish chores, walk back in, and I'm just like so mad. And I'm like, Lacey's gonna say something. I'm like, do not yell, do not yell, do not yell. And I get in there, she's like, what happened? I said, I fell. And just week, every single day, something more would come up. And I would have the chance to get angry. And it all culminated yesterday. Yesterday, we got up early to go down to say goodbye to a friend of mine passed away. And we drove three hours down to Mayville for her funeral. We get there, 3 hours away. We got up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We get there just to realize that I had the date wrong. It was next week. Yeah. So this has just been a week where God's just like, man, I'm going to test you with every single thing I can. So what are the dangers? Our anger does not produce righteousness, but evil. Psalms 37:8. This is what we're here to do, right? We are here to produce righteousness and good works. What does anger produce? Evil. Is evil righteousness or a good work? No. We are called to be peacemakers. Anger only brings more strife. Matthew 5:9, Proverbs 15:19, Proverbs 29:22, Proverbs 33:33. If we respond anger for anger and good for good, we are not better than the world we are called to be a light and salt to. The world tells you, replace anger for anger and good for good. If I do good to you, you can be good to me. If I do something bad to you, you have every right to be bad back to me. God's telling you the exact opposite. He said, I don't care what they're doing to you, respond to them with love, not with anger. If we are putting up anger, we're not building with the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruits of the world. I found this quote, and I thought this was so awesome. Anger and bitterness are two noticeable signs of being focused on self and not trusting God's sovereignty in your life. When you believe that God causes all things to work together for good to those who belong to him and love him, you can respond to trials with joy instead of angerness or bitterness. John C. Boger. I want to share with you an example of my anger and how wrong I was. If you guys see the more mellowed out Pastor Josh, when I was a kid, I had such bad anger issues that they actually had a warning. Like when I went in for an appointment, they'd type my name in, a warning would flash. This guy has anger issues. That's how bad it was. Yeah, I asked the doctor one time because I saw it flashing. I just hadn't known what that was. So when I was younger, I was picked on mercilessly. And one of the kids who picked on me the most a few years back killed himself. Now, how should I respond when I hear someone has killed themselves? What should my first thought be? That's tragic, right? I feel so sorry for his parents. I feel so sorry for his whole family. But this kid picked on me so mercilessly and made my life so miserable. Do you know what my first thought was? Good, he deserved it. Is that righteousness? No, do you see how evil that is? I was rejoicing in someone's death because they were so evil to me. That's not righteousness. You can't build with that. The Bible tells us that a refiner's fire will come, and whoever is building with the good building blocks will keep, and whoever is not, it will be destroyed. If you are building with anger, even though you'll be saved, when that refiner's fire comes, your work will be destroyed. So if you're building with greed, If we are greedy, it's a sign we love money. And we can't serve two masters. You either love God or you love money. There's no middle ground. I'm not saying you can't provide for your family. I'm not saying you can't be a businessman. I am not saying you can't be wealthy. I'm saying when you are purposely exploiting people just to make a profit, you have an issue. If you won't give your money to someone else to help someone else when they need help because you want to keep it even though you have more than enough, there's an issue. Greed does not come from the Father, but of the world, 1 John 2:16. Once again, what are we seeing here, right? If we're building with things that are coming from God, the Bible tells us very clearly, greed is not one of them. If you look back into Acts, and you're going to, okay, brace yourselves, guys. You're going to hate the word I'm about to use, all right? Y'all braced? They were socialist. I know, that's a horrible word, but they really were. It worked back then. This is why it worked back then and why it doesn't work now. Because the people didn't actually love the money. When the money went all the way to the top made sure it went back out. What happens nowadays with socialism and why it can be so destructive is we're all greedy. That money goes into the top and the top, people at the top keep it. Greediness will lead to our ruin. Greediness will lead to our ruin. It's going to destroy you. It will destroy you. It will eat you up inside. Just like anger. Holding on to anger, holding on to greed. It's just going to destroy you as you go on. We're not building again. We're not building with fruits of the Spirit. We're building with things of the world. How can you build a spiritual building, a spiritual temple to God, and stand strong and stand firm if you're building with things of the world? Do you understand how that doesn't make sense? John's getting ready to build a new building, right? He's going to make sure he uses quality products when he builds that building. He's not going to use hay and stubble and stuff like that. Otherwise, at the first spark, his whole building will be gone. He's going to make sure he builds it strong so when the winds pick up, it doesn't blow over. You are building yourself as a temple of God. If we desire riches, we'll never be satisfied. Riches enlarge rather than satisfy appetites. Thomas Fuller said that. A great quote I read one time. You've all heard of Johnson's Wax. They make a ton of products. They started out making floor polish. And they're headquartered in Racine, Wisconsin. I don't know if you knew that. And when they interviewed the CEO, he made his first $1 million. And they said to him, "Now that you made $1 million, now what do you want?" You know what he answered them? "I want another million." You think, boy, $1 million, I'd be happy. Where's your happiness? If you're putting that happiness in that money, it's just going to make you hungrier for more money. You're building with material that will be destroyed with fire. So is all anger wrong and having wealth wrong? The answer is no, not all anger is wrong. Righteous anger. Good anger and wealth. Righteous anger, when someone presents, if someone is leading someone down a path of destruction, if you're presenting a wrong gospel, I expect you to be angry with them and to adjust them. If someone is going to hurt a kid, I expect you to get angry about that. Jesus, when he went into the temple and all the money changers were in there, did he get angry with them? The Bible says he made a whip and whipped them and threw them out. That sounds angry to me. Not all anger is wrong, but here's one thing we need to realize. Even when anger is right, we need to react correctly. Be angry but sin not. God never said wealth was wrong. Job was incredibly wealthy. He was one of the wealthiest men of his time. Abraham was incredibly wealthy. When the Israelites left Egypt, it says they plundered the gold. And they took all this gold with them. Solomon built his temple with gold and diamonds and cedar. David was a very wealthy man. God never said, you can't be wealthy. He simply says, you can't love the money. God never once said you shouldn't make a living. In fact, he commands us to provide for our families. In 1 Timothy 5:8, he says, if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. Do you see, it's not having money that's the issue. It's not being angry that's the issue. It's how you react. Bad anger. Returning anger for anger. You hit me, I hit you. Proverbs tells us this. It says, a soft word turns away wrath, but an angry word stirs up strife. Josh, come up here, please. I want to demonstrate how this looks. And just so you know, I talked to Josh ahead of time, so he knew this was coming. So I've told you in the past that working at our shop is like American Chopper, but without the cool bikes. So I want to show you an example. If someone comes at me, Josh is going to yell at me. I've said he can call me names to a point. I said he can't be vulgar or be hint at any vulgarity. But I want to show you two examples of how to respond when someone comes at you. Yeah, you're a jerk too.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, you know, you're just always so mean to me. Why you gotta be such a jerk all the time? You know, I'm sick and tired of you. I'm sick and tired of your face. I'm sick and tired of your attitude.
I need more of that.
Okay. Now watch, see what happens. When you return anger for anger, it's just going to build up his anger. They did a study once. This is really interesting. They did a study where they took people down. They had them write out a long essay. Then they would take it back, and they would have someone grade the essay, right? No one actually graded it. They just marked everything wrong and handed it back to them. And the person would get angry. Now the person could do one of two things. They would either tell them, okay, sit here calmly for a few minutes, or scream and punch into this pillow. Then right after they did that, they would give them tomato juice. And they say, okay, we're going to go have the person who graded your test drink this tomato juice. Feel free to put as much hot sauce in it as you want. The people who release their anger put in more hot sauce than the people who sat there calmly. Every single time. When you replace anger for anger, all you get is more angry. Now, we're going to do this again. And instead of responding with anger, I'm going to respond with love and with a soft word.
I'm at a loss now. See, it already worked.
Just say something.
Oh, yeah.
Just tell me how lazy I am and how I don't do anything around the office.
Get me on the spot now. Yeah, why did you get food on my computer?
You know, you are exactly right. I should not have done that. I need to work on that. I will work on that. I will make sure that I do better next time. I am very sorry for doing that.
You're lying in sin, right?
I'm not lying. I truly am okay. Sorry. And, yeah. You know, I hope you know how much I appreciate you. I mean, that, you know, you've taught me so much about, you know, there's a lot of things I didn't know because I grew up with a single mother, and I really appreciate the fact that you and your family took me under your wing and helped teach me things.
Yeah, you're right, it works.
A soft word turns away wrath. Nothing I do is a lie either, by the way. A soft word turns away wrath. If we could teach kids who are being bullied to do this, it would honestly help. I'm not joking. What happens is you're bullied, they respond with more anger. And then the anger just builds up. I'm not saying being bullied is right or not, that's right. It's wrong. It's horribly wrong. I'm just saying that we could learn how to respond to bullies better. Bad anger, if you get angry with God. Some days, man, don't you just want to get angry with God? I was just talking about my friend, Teresa. She battled cancer for over a year. And when I heard she passed away, I said, but God, why? David, you look in the Psalms, he always cried. When bad things happen, he's like, why, God, why? It's okay to question God, not to get angry with him. Question him, seek him out, and I promise you, he'll show you eventually. This life seems so unfair so much. Trust me, I've been there, I'm still there. But I know God is good. When is greed wrong? If you're loving money more than you're loving God. This is how you know if you love more money more than you love God. Right? The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, dear good teacher, what must I do to be saved? And God said, keep the commandments. Well, I've done all that since my youth. And then Jesus knew his heart. He said, then sell all you have, give your money to the poor, and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad. Is God telling you have to sell everything you own right now and give it to the poor? Is that what he meant by that? He was just pointing out to that rich young ruler, you truly don't love God. You love your money. And here is how you know the test. If God were to say to you right now, give up everything you own, give all your money to the poor, would you do it? If the answer is no, then you love your money more than you love God. And it's taken the place, you've created a false idol, you've created a false God, the false God is your money. I'm not saying give your money to the poor, all of it at least. If you take advantage of people to make your money, that's when it gets wrong. Yes, you may see people who run crooked businesses, and they may look like they're prospering right now, but the Bible guarantees us that eventually that money will disappear. And you know what? I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. You can't take it with you. Go ahead and build your empire by crushing people and taking advantage of the poor and, you know, being a dishonest businessman. When you die, all that money is just going to rot away anyway. But if you love God and work with God and work our righteousness for God, you're going to lay up treasures from heaven that'll be there when you get there. So we know we need to remove anger and greed. We can't build with those. So if we're going to remove them, what are we going to replace them with? What's the opposite of anger? Love. The first thing is we need to love God. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's easy enough. Love God. Love your family. I tell you what, if you knew my family, some days it's hard to love them. Present company excluded. But I love them all the same. I have a wonderful family that God gifted me with, and I love on them And I will gladly die for each and every one of them. Love our friends. That's easy, right? All these are pretty easy. Love your church. If someone says to you, is there a good place to go to church, and you don't say River of Hope, that's an issue. And if you truly feel that way, please come talk with me so we can figure out what's wrong. I surely hope if you are coming here and someone says, hey, what's a great church to go to? The first thing out of your mind is River of Hope. I was talking with a friend of mine. She lives up in Anago, and she was looking for a church to go to. And I said, oh, there's this church, blah, blah, blah. She goes, yeah, a friend of mine goes there. And she told me, don't even come here. Love your church. And here's the hardest one. Love your enemies. You're like, but that is so hard. It is. The hardest thing you'll ever have to do is to love your enemies. But if you are sitting here today and you call yourself a Christian, that means Christ-like, that means follower of Christ, which means we're walking in Christ's footsteps, right? The Bible tells us that while we were still enemies, Christ died on the cross for our sins. There's a very famous missionary. Him and his, they went down to the jungles. Jim Elliot, thank you. Jim Elliot went down to the jungles, and they were, basically as soon as they got there, they were massacred. His wife, who would have every reason to hate those people, right? Chelsea, if Kurt went down to a jungle to tell people about God and they killed him, would you be upset? Nina, if Clayton went to the... No, that's not a good example. Kaylee, if Roland went to the jungle to tell people about Christ and they killed him, would you be upset? All right. So what did Jim Elliot's wife do? She said, guess where I'm going? I'm going right back to those people to tell them about God because I love them. And they're like, they just killed your husband. She's like, yeah, obviously they need to know about God. And she went down there and that tribe was saved. That's loving your enemies. Replace greed with charity. Support the church. Sure, you're tithing. Talked about this. I'm not going to get into it very much. I'm just going to say it's important to tithe. I'm going to end it there. Support missions. Hey, if you're not going, you're sending, right? The only way those people can get to the mission field is by individuals and churches saying, I will give you so much every month. Support your family. Man, husbands, as head of the household, if you are not supporting your family, the Bible says you're worse than an infidel. So get on it. Support this community. This community needs Christ. What are you doing to help support them? Support the poor. I'm going to tell you this right now, that almost everybody in here is what I would classify as rich. Here's how I classify rich. You ready? Do you have to worry every day where your next meal is going to come from? Do you have to worry if your kids are going to have food to eat? Do you have to worry about paying bills because you have no money? Do you have to worry about if your kids are going to have clothes? They're going to be warm enough this winter. Most of us in here can say we don't have to worry about any of that. And I say to you, you are then rich. And we need to be supporting the people. There are people in our community. There are people right next to us who are worrying about those things. This church has an amazing thing. It's called the Compassion Fund. And we have so much money set aside every month. If people are in desperate need of help, they can come here. And if it's within our budget, we can help them out. Isn't that amazing? The sad part is we have to turn people away because we only have so much money to give out. But if God is blessing you, Deuteronomy tells us the poor will always be with you. If God has blessed you over and abundantly with finances, you should be helping the poor. The Bible made it very clear. The church's job is to help the poor, the widowed, and the orphaned. The church dropped the ball somewhere along the way, and we decided to hoard our wealth. So what are the results? If we build with love, we're obeying God. We'll be recognized as followers of Christ. Isn't that what you want to hear? You want to hear people say lovingly, hey, that's one of those Christians. Not, huh, that's one of those Christians. You know, they're in church every Sunday, but, you know, they do anything to help anybody? No. They say they love us, but they really love us? No. And you know there are people who say that about people, right? People want to hear what they say because they will see that we are different. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. We will know God. John 4:7, if you know God, you'll abide in love and you'll be love. So the exact opposite, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, it talks about if I speak in tongues, if I do all this, if I don't have love, it's useless, it's pointless. If you're not building, if you're building with anger, forget it, your deeds are all in vain. You're just gonna look like the rest of the world. How can you change the world if you're a part of it and look just like them? People won't care what you have to say. If you don't care about them, why are they going to care what you have to say? How can you tell someone, hey, I love you, I want to tell you this, without backing it up? If we are building with anger, then we truly don't know God. But if we build with charity, building with charity will honor God. We will be blessed by God. We will be obeying God. The poor will always be with you. Take care of them. We will be avoiding the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money. The love of it. Our building blocks will last through the refiner's fire, and our structure will stand tall. If you build with greed, you dishonor God. Is that really what you want to be known for? You want to be known as the Christian who dishonors God because they love wealth more than they love Him? I told you before, and I'll say it again, I want to be known as the guy who's always giving. Man, when I get to heaven, I want to be so used up and so spent that I need that brand new body because I use this one up for God. If you build with greed, you're eventually going to lose that money that you've earned. You will be directly disobeying God. I don't know about you, but the last time I read my Bible, disobeying God was really bad. You will be attached to the root of all sorts of evil. And finally, your building blocks will not last. Your structure will collapse. This is what it all comes down to. What are you building with? Are you building with anger and with greed? It's okay if you're sitting there right now saying, yes, I am building with anger and greed. It is not okay if you decide to walk out that door and keep building with them. It is perfectly fine if you are saying, wow, I am building with anger and greed. I need to change this today. I say, if that's the case, praise God that you realize that. Now get replacing them. I'm going to close in prayer here. And when you feel God is done with you, you are free to leave. But if you need extra prayer for anything at all in your life, if you need prayer for healing, prayer for guidance, anything big, anything small, anything at all, I will stay up here until everybody is gone. We will anoint you with oil. We will pray over you. That's where our foundation is built on. It's built on Christ. It's built on prayer. Actually, while I'm thinking about it, Janessa, come here, please. And Kevin and Roland, can you come up here, please? And John, sorry, I thought you were out there. Come up, John, please. In James, the Bible tells us if there's any sick among you, call the elders of the church, anoint them with oil, and pray over them that they may be healed.
This is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like when the church is alive. This is what it sounds like.